You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Coaching malpractice. What you are witnessing with the Philadelphia Eagles is coaching malpractice. I got to show you exactly what I mean. I'm so glad y'all are here. I got some things to get off my chest. Now, Hassan Reddick, he is one of the best pass rushers in football. Listen closely when I say that this man is one of only two players to have 10 plus sacks in four consecutive seasons. It is Hassan Reddick and it is TJ Watt, an NFL Defensive Player of the Year. It is Hassan Reddick and TJ Watt, one of only two men to have 10 plus sacks in four consecutive seasons. So why in the world do you have this individual, Hassan Reddick, dropping backwards? Okay, get this. First play of the game against the New York Giants, Hassan Reddick, I just showed you what he can do as a pass rusher. I just showed you what he can do going forward. Now, all of a sudden, you got this dude dropping back in cover two coverage. Here is a dilemma, America. When you're sitting in cover two, Hassan Reddick, what he doesn't yet know, and it's not his fault, he has to understand he has to stay in this coverage window. He cannot, under any circumstance, decide that he wants to rush the passer. But what does he do for a living? He rushes a passer. So what does Hassan Reddick do naturally? His instincts kick in, and he goes forward, and the New York Giants, they gained 33 yards. Now you're thinking to yourself, Acho, it's just a one-time thing. Have some grace. I can't have grace because last week against the Arizona Cardinals, the coaches made the same mistake. Hassan Reddick, once again, he's dropping back. Why in the world do I want this individual and pay close attention to what's going on inside of the red circle? Why in the world do I want an individual who has 10 plus sacks in four consecutive seasons, just him and TJ Watt? Why do I have to him going backwards? It's Hassan Reddick and it is Myles Garrett. Those are the two who have 10 plus sacks in the last four seasons. You do not ask a fish to walk. You don't ask a bird to swim. So why are you asking Eagles pass rushers to go backwards when he's the most elite at going forward? It's malpractice. I'm coming to the desk. You're the all-time rushing leader, big dog. You the one.
Yeah.
Of all Eagles on television, there is LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Shady, I'm watching the tape and I'm disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disgusted. I'm not disgusted because there's a lack of effort. I'm not disgusted because they made him quit. I'm disgusted because what I am seeing from this team, from top to bottom, from coaches in the booth, from coaches on the field, I'm disgusted with the product that the Eagles are putting out on tape.
Right.
You, as the all-time rushing leader whose jersey will be retired here in the next 12 or so months, how do you feel? Are you disgusted?
I'm hurt. Yeah, I'm hurt, man. I love to talk trash. It's been my thing. As a player and as retired, I talk trash. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I can't even talk trash. I sit there and be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I watch the game. You know, I'm at a little sports bar. People, mm-hmm. Hey, Shady, how you doing? Not right now. Right? But then I hear them say little jokes. What about them Eagles? I can't say nothing back. It's hard to watch. When I watch this team, we can't run the ball. We can't throw the ball.
Mm.
We can't play no defense.
No, can't
right?
do that. Can't
we
do
lost
that.
To... the Arizona Cardinals at home.
That happened.
That was bad.
That happened.
You know what? Well, maybe we get over some things.
Sure.
Right? Then we go to New York and we lose to the Giants.
Ugh.
Two teams that's trying to lose.
Giants.
That's trying to get draft picks. So I think right now where we're at is that we are living off of the names on the paper.
Mm.
Right? When you look at the Eagles roster, you see the names, you see the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you see the wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
you see the offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
On defense, same thing. But we're not playing like that. So I don't even know what to say. I mean, I had all these notes here. The thing is, we're not playing Eagle football,
Shady.
And it's hard to watch.
Shady, I have watched,
ooh,
I would say,
the pain in my dog.
Every Eagles game since I've been a part of them the last 9 years, since 2013, however long ago that's been. You've watched a lot of Eagles games. You've played in just as many as you have watched. LeSean McCoy, is this is
bad or as low as you felt about your Eagles in a long time.
Absolutely. Mm. We were winning games like this. It was close games, but we still find ways to win. We're not even having a chance to do that now. Now, like, the bum teams is, like, actually, like, beating up on us. Mm-hmm. And we can't respond. I miss my flag. I miss my right? I miss Slim here, the bear.
He ain't been here in a minute.
I came with my diamonds. He got his diamonds. He's not even here. So, yes, if you ask me, it's the worst it's ever been. Yes. Mm. This is worse than when we were 4-12 with the Eagles, right? Because we're such a, they're such a good team now. True. And I really learned, Joy, that I am a bigger Eagle fan than I thought I was. Playing, it's like, come on, Shady McCoy, you know what it is, 25.
Of course.
When I retire, I say, yo, I'm really a diehard Eagle fan. Mm-hmm. And right now, I have nothing to talk about. Me and my group chats are silent. Ain't nobody in the group chat talking about nothing. Matter of fact, Jeremy Maclin, he called me yesterday.
Oh, no.
Right? I'm thinking about the kids, about my kids, about life, real estate. He says, bruh, what we doing right now? We terrible. Yeah. And then when I said, yeah, you're right. So, I don't know. Hopefully these guys got an answer. I'm devastated. I'm hurt.
Terrible, devastated, hurt. Those are all the words that LeSean McCoy has used, rightfully so. The play, it speaks for itself. But, Joy, should the Eagles be disgusted?
Disgusted is such a big, big word.
It is.
It doesn't feel like it's their year. I'm going to sprinkle maybe some optimism on it. Okay. I don't want to see Slim. I know James does not want to see Slim. So I'm not rooting against the Eagles, but do we bring Slim back if they beat the Bucks?
At this point, yes.
No, they got to earn it.
I'm not suggesting this.
Anyone, Joy.
Well, remember we talked about, you know, should they blow the Giants out? And I was trying to say it is all professionals on the other side of the field. They all get checks on Tuesday. They all have their buys and they have the contracts and all that stuff. They have all that too. So you can get slapped any weekend, any different kind of way, especially if you're not playing good football. Disgusted, here's the thing with the Eagles. They're too good to be sad, and they're too bad to be happy. Because for all of this, at one point in the season, you were 10-1.
10-1, bro.
And you're still in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, and you could still win a playoff game. Now, I know the aspiration was to get back to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, but, and I'm not trying to be optimistic here, I'm just saying the facts. Factually speaking, they were 10-1 at one point in this season, mm-hmm. and they are in the postseason. Mm-hmm. They're going to play. They could win. And so all of this, you were in the Super Bowl last year. You come back this year. You have an up and down season and say you win a playoff game. Now, they might lose, too. Very well could lose. But let's say they win. Is disgusted the word that we want to use to describe that?
Yes, yes.
Because of the aspiration? Because of the expectations?
Like right now, because I love what you're doing. Thank you, first of all.
I mean, that's just how I see it.
Instead of all, can you see my Eagles going to conference game?
Okay,
I ain't talking about Tampa because they bad too. They we talking about Shabir Mayfield get paid. He had 132 yards on 32 passes. I'm not talking about him. I'm just saying, do you think the Eagles could be not even win? Can we beat at a conference game?
I don't know. I don't think so. But let's say they do. Let's just be optimistic and say they
but
do.
But we can't.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to be optimistic. I'm just saying they could. Like, they could win this weekend.
They could.
Let's just pretend. Let's go to a little Zen place. They could win this weekend. So that means you went to the playoffs, then you went to the Super Bowl, then you went back to the playoffs, won a playoff game, and let's say you lose in the divisional round. So you have some adjustments you need to make next year. It was a bad year. You fought through. You found a way to win a playoff game, and then you go off into the horizon. I guess my question is, why are we so serious about the Eagles?
Because we're a serious team.
Why are the rest of us?
Philadelphia is the only place where saying they're going to get booed or get snowballed, right? Philadelphia's the only place where we're going to boo the team. If we win at halftime, you still going to get booed. It's a serious place to be. That's why guys like Ben Simmons couldn't make it.
Correct.
Everybody can't make it in Philadelphia.
Talk about it.
Either you can make it in thick skin or you can't. Yeah. So my thing to you is, like, I hear what you're saying. I love it. Thank you. I hope that everything you say is right. But when you watch us play,
it's bad.
to the Arizona Cardinals who don't want to win. We watch us lose to the Giants. No. When you watch us get blown out by the Giants. Like, how can you sit there and say that you think that?
Well, you guys.
That's crazy.
You guys, because you're the all-time. You're the all-time leading rusher. I hear the pain in your voice and your heart and all that. You guys were a serious team. Y'all not serious no more.
Y'all not serious no more.
We still kind of serious.
Nah, losing to the Cardinals, then getting blown out by the Giants. You guys are not a serious football team. I don't even know if the coaches is taking it serious, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
This is disgusting, and it's a couple reasons why it's disgusting. It's disgusting, number one, because this is not the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. This team was once 10-1. Yeah, we can sit up here and say they weren't playing the right football, but they was 10-1. Mm. The best team in football, we was up here saying. Mm-hmm. Then, as of late, you have lost four out of your last five, or five out of your last
five
six,
out of six,
whatever it may be.
Correct.
This is not the Philadelphia Eagles that we thought was going to be competing this season.
Nah.
So you should be disgusted from that standpoint. Anytime you have a bad game, anytime I had a bad game, I could not sleep. Mm. I was disgusted. You out here dropping balls, looking crazy. That's not you. And that's the Philadelphia Eagles right now. This is not y'all, right? So you guys should, when you walk into the locker room, feel disgusted. This is crazy. Number two, you should feel disgusted because you go out there, your number one wide receiver get hurt.
Mm.
Who knows what's going to happen with my dog?
Mm-hmm.
Your quarterback dislocate his finger.
Mm.
All right. Who knows what's going to happen with him? Mm-hmm. So you already playing bad.
Mm-hmm.
Ankle injury.
So you already playing bad with your starters. Now your starters hurt.
Mm.
You should feel disgusted. There's no way around this.
Here, Shady, can I?
What you gonna say?
The reason the Eagles must feel disgusted is because the Giants made him quit.
Who? What?
Literally, I'm not making this up, America. Jalen Hurts didn't play much in the second half because the score was so out of hand that Nick Sirianni said, "You know what? Tapping. I'm done. Get him out the game."
Made him quit.
Kelce, Lane Johnson, they weren't in the game. Mm. A.J. Brown had to leave with an injury. Mm. The Giants made them quit. That same Giants team that quit last year, they made the Eagles quit. Mm. Shady brought it up. It's a meaningless game. Giants didn't even need to win. Giants didn't even want to win. For the sake of the Giants, it was better that they lose for the sake of their draft capital going forward. And they made the Eagles quit. Jalen Hurts on the sideline with dislocated fingers. A.J. Brown getting bad knees. And y'all just did Tyrod Taylor going up and down the field, up and down the field. Saquon Barkley getting busy, running over safeties, Reed Blankenship, just getting carried into the end zone. Mm-hmm. It was disgusting because of what they put on tape. We've been in these situations after a game where you got to look at the tape. And you're scared to even look at it because you're like, I know what that looks like.
That is true.
It was disgusting, embarrassing, repulsive. It was gross, LeSean McCoy. It was gross. But Nick Sirianni, he's the man at the top, Shady. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you because I was reading, I think it was the Philadelphia Inquirer today, and they were saying that Nick Sirianni and all head coaches, they should be fired after the humiliation against the Giants.
Yeah, well, that part right there, now that's Philadelphia at its finest, right? Before Andy Reid got there, they were not a good team. Mm-hmm. They were not running, they're not functional, none of that. He came, he saved the day, and they, at one point, they want him to leave, right? So that's Philadelphia for you in any sports. Eagles, Flyers, Sixers.
Can you still believe in Sirianni?
I think, yeah. Like, Nick Sirianni's a really good coach. And the thing I have an issue with reading that is that he ain't out there catching no passes. He ain't out there making no checks. He ain't out there throwing no balls. He ain't blocking nobody. He's not making no tackles.
Mm-hmm.
The same Nick Sirianni that we've seen each year take this team and get better and better and better. Players that were young and wasn't as good. We watched them develop these players, get better and better and better. Now it's at a point where the coaches are at blame and so are the players. Yeah. So what, are we going to fire and cut every player out there? No, you're not going to do that. Mm-mm. Same way, you shouldn't do the same with these coaches. I do think that we need to have some changes in the coaches. Not with Nick Sirianni, right, but some of the defense coordinators. Mm-hmm. It seems like we're not on the same page, right? You just showed clips of Hassan Reddick, who's probably our best pass rusher.
The surface.
Why is he covering, right? I would love to see him out there trying to cover me, right? I don't want to block him, and he don't want to cover me, but he's doing it. Even on offense, we need to find somebody where, I mean, they hate to say it. I'm not saying fire, but I'm saying we need to see some differences. We need to see some adjustments because we need to have an offense that's a little bit easier for Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. This year, he's struggling, we're struggling. And you look at guys like Dak Prescott. You look at guys like Brock Purdy. Let's just stick to Dak Prescott. Well, however we think about him, I think he's above average quarterback. I think this year he's playing at an elite level, right? But when you're really watching the way they run his offense, like, they make it easy for him. There's some plays he's making that's really hard. That's more of him making a good play, making a good pass, right? But a lot of that stuff is, you see CeeDee Lamb, he's everywhere. CeeDee Lamb's a top three receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's everywhere. So my thing is, why we don't have A.J. Brown moving around like that, right? A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb, they're in the same boat. They're eating the same food, right? Same tax bracket. put them in the same position to win. Same thing with Smith and Smitty.
Yeah.
We don't do that. So, yes, I do think that we do need to have some different adjustments in the coaching as far as the coordinators. I think Nick Sirianni deserves to be our boss, to be our leader, and be our head coach.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Sirianni has had some moments that are certainly questionable. And this year has not been his best year. That said, as I mentioned earlier, not his best year. They were 10-1 at one point. Mm-hmm. They are in the postseason. He was in the Super Bowl last year. They were in the postseason the year before that. Before this six-game stretch, he was 33-12. That's the second best in the NFL from the start of 2021 through week 12. One game behind the Chiefs, pretty good team, who were 34-11. Mm-hmm. He's had a really awful, disgusting, some might say, six-game stretch. We're going to fire the entire coaching staff because of that?
That's wild.
Now, when I asked earlier, why are we putting Philadelphia on this pedestal, I'm saying that in sort of a snarky way, but I'm also truly asking that. Like, what is the standard there? Because you resetting coaches every couple years, you cleaning out the building every couple years, I don't think that's a recipe for success or sustainability either. And you do still have a young quarterback. I think they need to make some adjustments with the offense. They need to make it easier for him. Everything you've said, I agree with. They got to fix the defense. I'm not saying there aren't things they need to fix in the offseason. Clearly, they obviously do. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been a fan of Sirianni this entire time. But I can't deny his record.
Yeah,
I can't deny the results.
Sirianni is a winning coach.
So if you want to panic and go into firing people, you do what you feel like you need to do. I'm just curious as to what do you think is better. What is the standard there? Because everyone's not going to win the Super Bowl every single year. Of course, that's the aspiration. And of course, when you've just been in the Super Bowl, that's the aspiration. But zoom out a little bit and listen. I love Super Bowls. I love winning. I love championships. I love results. But I also like consistency.
That's right.
I also like coming to the table every single year, giving yourself a chance. You know who doesn't have a chance? All the teams who aren't in the postseason this year. You know who does literally have a chance? The Eagles. No, none of us think they're in a position to go back to the Super Bowl this year. They might not even be in a position to win a postseason game. But you're there. So my argument is, what are you looking for? Are you looking for consistency? Are you looking for growth? Are you looking for player development? Are you looking for an opportunity to win because you're in the postseason? Because so far, that's what Nick Sirianni has offered you.
I would say I'm looking for competency. For competence, rather, and I'm not seeing that. Now, would I say keep Nick Sirianni? I would say yes, because Nick Sirianni is a sure as opposed to an unknown. But you got to get rid of 90% of the coaching staff.
90%?
So, yeah, I'm keeping Jeff Stoutland, offensive line coach. I'm keeping Michael Clay, special teams coach. Outside of that, I'm not tethered to nobody.
The running back coach? What?
You can keep him, too. You know better than I, so I won't.
I'm saying, both his running backs last year.
Correct.
Miles Sanders got busy.
And this year did well.
Okay.
Keep him. But, like, all the linebacker coach, good on him.
Yeah.
Safeties coach, defensive line coach. And it's just because the Eagles players aren't being put in positions to win. Mm-hmm. For all the reasons I might hear of keeping Nick Sirianni, I would ask very simply, what's the reason to keep him? What's the reason? And I don't just want to hear because they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they winning? And now why are they losing? Because that's the predicament the Eagles are here in the first place. Yeah, but the Eagles are 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they were 10-2.
Yeah.
And then they were 10-3. And then they were 10-4. And then they were 10-5 or 11-5, and now here they are at 11-6.
All right.
So, go ahead.
So, wait. So, every year he's been in the league, he's been a playoff team, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's hard to do, for one, right? And if you want to replace – see, my thing is replacing it. Nick has been so good. How are you going to replace that? So, we talk about growth. Jalen Hurts, from where he started to now, you could never tell me that he'd have been this. I'm going to be honest. Jalen Hurts, from the beginning
– don't you think he's done this?
I mean, but that's
yeah, this year.
This year, but that's football, though. Like, I didn't have a straight great career this every year. How many coaches have a great career a great year every year as a coach? It don't happen like that. So my thing is, for Nick Sirianni's off year to be in the playoffs, to be a game away from winning our division, I'm taking that.
But here's my problem, Shady.
Okay, listen.
We've had this tension all season long.
That.
My problem with all of this is, why are they so bad? It is not just because their quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
Bengals, Bengals, the Vikings, the Colts, right? Yeah. The Eagles. I'm showing you why they're so bad,
I
haven't done anything to fix it.
Okay, but everybody goes, so look, Andy Reid, I think Andy Reid's the... I don't know no coach better than Andy.
Mm-hmm.
They struggling. They don't.
Sure.
They don't like a disciplined team. They don't like a smart team.
But you have your why.
Let's just go to all these things.
Yep.
Okay. Doug Peterson. I think he's a beast as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them. They ain't going to playoffs.
But you have a why. You have a why.
However you want to point the finger, I'm just telling you what it is.
This is the
we look at all these top coaches, though, and they have years where they don't do well. They look bad.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying I don't like the reason for why the Eagles are doing bad, because Nick Sirianni could fix this reason.
I will tell you the reason why the Eagles are bad right now. Nick Sirianni's not Andy Reid. He's not Mike McCarthy. I'm not talking about a winning coach. Andy Reid call plays. Mike call plays. Mm-hmm. He does not. He depends on his offensive coordinators to call the plays. He depends on his defensive coordinators to call the plays. So he's not really in on a lot of those play callings. This is his first time as an NFL head coach that he's been through this. He lost two coordinators, defense and offensive coordinators. These are two new dudes that came in here. Nick didn't bring them with him. You understand what I'm saying? So Nick hired these offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators that is with the Colts, that is with the Cardinals, right? You lose that. Now you come in here, and that's why you see the way the defense is struggling. You fire that coach or put him in the box and bring in, you know, another coach to run a defense. He's doing stuff totally different. You just show clips with the first defensive coordinator. He rushing. This defensive coordinator, he dropping. What are we doing? He's the best pass rusher on the football team. The way you build and have success as a football team, your assistant coaches have a lot to do with
that.
A lot to do with that. And when you start and you talk about coaching, to me, it is not Nick. Nick will throw a challenge flag here. I want to go for it here. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the responsibility is on the other coaches, and that's during the week also.
So then why
are
you keeping Nick?
You got
because if he's not calling plays offensively nor defensively, the camaraderie of the locker room obviously is not translating right now, nor can we see it right now. The defense hasn't been great. The offense hasn't been great. Then why are you keeping him?
Because
I'm not saying don't. I'm just asking why.
And then you replace him with who?
With an offensive mind who does call plays.
And maybe he's terrible. And maybe he doesn't work well with Jalen Hurts. And maybe he doesn't blend well with Philadelphia. Maybe the team doesn't respond to him. Whenever you are replacing someone, especially someone who has had results, and we keep saying this, oh, like all he does is win. That's the whole point. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Win, you lose. You win, you're in the playoffs. You win, you get to the Super Bowl. That's how it works. That's all that matters. We can get into all this other nuance. That's for players. For coaches, do you win? Do you lose? You can run a dumpster fire of an organization. If you win, don't nobody care.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of examples of that. For players, it's very different. You can't just win. You got to put up numbers, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. So when you're talking about coaches and replacing him, and I don't even know why I feel so adamant about this. I'm just like, these are the results. It is hard to replace assistant coaches. And when you have success, your assistant coaches leave. It has nothing to do with who the head coach is. That's why great all-time coaches have coaching tree.
Correct. But we're currently witnessing great coaches lose assistant coaches and still be great coaches.
Yeah, because they're great. I'm not saying Nick Sirianni is a great coach.
So what I'm saying, and even if I were to talk about Eagles head coaches, go ahead, Shady, because obviously you're discussing about something.
My thing is like, dang, man, so he has one bad season and he's still in the playoffs and you tell him I get rid of him?
I'm not. I'm having a conversation on television. I'm not saying you should.
But you bringing it up. You bring it up on television.
Of course, because the Philadelphia Inquirer is bringing it up.
Man, but that's who they are.
Of course.
They don't know nothing. That's who they are.
Yes.
They don't know much about none of that. What I'm telling you is, for me to have a bad year, right? Every year I took this team to the playoffs, despite who the quarterback is. So when I have a bad year and my team looks bad, the first thing I'm going to say is get rid of me?
Because of why. When you had a bad year in Buffalo, I think I looked at your stats one year. I said, dang, Shady, you had a bad year in Buffalo. What'd you say? You said, Acho, I was hurt. Oh, okay, bet. Thank you. Grand opening, grand closing, conversation finished. You gave me a reason. Andy Reid struggling. Eagles, y'all went 4-12, I think was the dream season year. You said, Acho, everybody on the squad was hurt. Oh, great, thanks for telling me. Noted. Chiefs are struggling this year.
Man.
Acho, the receivers are bad. Oh, great, good to know. But when I'm telling you that the Eagles are bad, it's not because the players have been hurt. It is not because there's been a major.
Players been bad.
Dallas Goedert was hurt. But it's not because of some players have been hurt, the roster. No. It's because the coaching staff has been extremely unimpressive.
I promise you. Hold on. We can't give it all to the coaches either, though.
No.
Some boys out there playing, and they don't look. And I ain't gonna call out them boys, but some dudes ain't playing good at all.
Agreed.
That I thought was good. All I'm saying is this, though. It's crazy for us to have this conversation. I get it for TV or wherever. It's back room, an alleyway, whatever it is. It's hard to have this conversation when all this dude has done has been productive and win games. And that his year, he comes up short where they don't look good like we supposed to. We still in the playoffs and we win games from winning our division.
I
think anybody deserves a pass on that.
But not only that. this is his first time going through it. When you talk about all these other coaches, they've been through it plenty of times. So they know how this stuff is supposed. This is Nick's first time losing both his coordinators in a season. We talk about all these young quarterbacks, and the ones that don't have success, the first thing we go to, he had four offensive coordinators. That's what we go to, right? So for Nick, you can't tell me Nick Sirianni ain't in his office right now like, I got my eye on him as an offensive coordinator next year for Jalen. I see what he's doing. Yeah, I got my eye on him for defense. You can't tell me he's not doing that. So for me, you're not even thinking about letting Nick go right now. Now, if he comes next season and this team looks the way they look, then yeah, you might have a conversation. But this year, no, you give him a pass because all he has done is won in Philly, and you let him bring in the coaches that he wants to bring in next year to do the things that he wants to do because he showed you he's a winner at the coach position.
Since the turn of the century, though, the Eagles have not just had losing coaches. They just haven't. You've played for a couple of them. I've played for a couple of them.
They win.
Whether it was Andy Reid, they win. Whether it was Chip Kelly, like him or not, 10-6, 10-6. Then he got fired the next year. Doug Peterson, he went to a Super Bowl and won it his second year. Then you got Nick Sirianni. So this fear that the Eagles aren't going to have a bad coach, they just don't have bad coaches. Andy Reid was a really good coach. Chip Kelly, as bad as he was, won the division the year he got there. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl the second year he got there. Nick Sirianni went to a Super Bowl the second year he got there. So this fear that they might not get another great coach, I don't think that's a fear that Jeffrey Lurie nor Howie Roseman submit to. And my final point is, either way, it seems like we're all submitting to the fact that the Eagles got to get it right with a coach. If Sirianni's not calling the plays, then what I'm hearing from the left side of the desk, not you as much, Shady, what I'm hearing from the left side of the desk is they got to get it right with the offensive coordinator.
And the defensive coordinator.
So either way, you got to bet on a new coach getting it right. Whether it's the OC or the HC, an NC, a new coach, got to get it right.
But a new coach is a new coach. A whole new staff,
but you got
potentially
anyway.
A new system.
Correct, but that's all happening anyway. The new OC is going to have to bring in a new system. You got to get a new staff.
You know that a head coach is different to replace as well.
Agreed.
It's not that simple. A whole new voice in the building, top to bottom. Every coach brings in their own energy, their own personality. That's a bigger adjustment than just replacing Nick Sirianni. And you keep we're talking about this again, like Nick Sirianni is a winning coach.
He is.
At a very high level. The only coach that's been at a higher level since 2021 is Andy Reid. And I'm not saying that Nick Sirianni.
Counting the losing streakers.
Right before.
Count that joint.
You want to count it? Then you cannot have a bad stretch as a coach or you will be fired in Philadelphia.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, like,
okay, well then that's fine. Like, do that.
That is true.
But don't expect any sympathy when it becomes a turnover type of situation.
But Nick has showed us that he knows how to pick these coaches. Two of them is head coaches. Like, he knows. So give him an opportunity to pick some more next season to be able to bring in and do what he wants to do. He showed you that he can do that.
This has been.
Before we go to break, though, I got to say this. We gotta free my boy Dom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, free Dom,
baby. It had to happen. So what?
Coming up, the Buffalo Bills went from 6-6 to winning the division just 7 weeks later. But can Josh Allen be trusted? I don't know. I will get the answers on the other side of this commercial break. Family, it's been an intense show, and we're just getting started. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Family, we are in second and short. Josh Allen, 3 turnovers last night. Didn't matter. Bills won. Somehow rallied from being 6-6 through the season, through 12 weeks, and now all of a sudden they are AFC East champions for the 4th straight season, securing the 2 seed. Shady McCoy, you played with Josh Allen. You were there when he was drafted. You know him better than anybody on national television, so you have invaluable insight. Can Josh Allen be trusted in the playoffs? Mm.
Yeah! Did they not just go on a 5-game winning streak?
5 games.
You don't just do that. They don't say, I'm gonna do this right now. Boom. Nah, he earned that. Every week they find a way to win. A majority of the time it's on his arm, it's on his back. Or he got to throw, he got to run somebody over. Whatever it takes, he's winning games. This Dolphins team is really, really good. They own them. This is our division, bro. Soon Tom Brady, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. We're going to take over this division. That's what they did. Josh Allen is that good. That's the reason why every year they got him up to be the MVP of the league. Every year them Bills are one or two as far as being Super Bowl champion. So I'll say that. Even though he turns the ball over, he throws picks, he fumbles the ball. He's always done that. Even when I was winning to now. But one thing about Josh Allen, they're going to win games. They're going to win games. Look at my boy. His swag is always up and down. Two followers for that.
There you go. He forgot.
Anyway, as long as he's there, they got a shot. That's
they got
all
a
saying.
Shot. Joy Taylor, can he be trusted?
Yes.
Yes.
Josh, I mean, yes. Yes, he can. And the reason he can is because why do we put Josh at the top of the league every single year? You saw it last night. They got, I don't know, 400 yards or something for the first down. He just going, womp, 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 womp,
over that third and 14?
Third and 13.
Hold up. It ain't nothing.
It ain't
nothing. He said, yo, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to do it.
You see? I'm out of here.
Don't worry about it. I got it.
Yeah, Josh.
Get off of me. Yeah, Josh is different.
I didn't appreciate that, Josh. That's what it is. Yes, he's going to turn the ball over. He is going to turn the ball over. Yeah. We know that. We can just count on that. But he is playing at his high level again. Mm. And that's what's scary about it. Because the turnovers just don't matter. When he's playing at a high level, the turnovers don't matter. When he's not playing at a high level, it's going to look really, really bad.
Right there was the play, right?
That was it.
D-lineman, linebacker, safeties.
That was it.
He didn't even need the penalty. No, that was the play right there.
He didn't even need it, bro.
Those don't matter.
Yeah, and that's a play, too.
They don't matter.
That's a play, too.
Great point. Great point right there. Great point.
It doesn't matter. So, yes, you have to trust him. He's doing that thing he does where he just looks like a superstar and there's just nothing you can do about it. You can't take him down. He's breaking tackles, running away from everybody. He's going to turn the ball over. He's going to do that. But he's going to look really good while he does it. Do it. You know you got to do it, James. You got to say it.
Josh, man. Josh, boy. Every coach that coached him going to have gray hairs. You're going to have some wins with it, but you're going to be great.
You're going to earn them. You're going to get these little wrinkles.
Man, that's what come with Josh. I want to say no extremely bad because I've never been on the roller coaster with Josh Allen. But I'm going to say yes, you can trust him. And the main reason you can trust him is because it's not one in a row. It's not two in a row. Sure. It's not three in a row. It's not four in a row. Give me my division back. It's five in a row.
Ooh. And then he took that lap in Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, he took the
lap. I couldn't even be mad at him.
He took the lap.
I couldn't be mad at him.
Finish him.
He said, give me my division
back.
Give me my division back. And I'm going to take a lap in the stadium. How am I going to be mad at him?
So we can sit here all we want and say, Josh, what you doing? What kind of throw is that? Two seed. Give me my division back. Five
in a row. Two seed, that fast.
You know, so for me, from that standpoint, Josh Allen has been in playoff mode for these last 5-6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I said, it is hard to do that and get the first playoff win done. And he's been in that playoff mode for 6 weeks, and they are finding ways to win. Turnovers or not, Josh is finding ways to win. So when you ask me, can I trust him? Yes.
I don't think I can trust him.
Mm. You don't trust him?
So them five straight mean nothing.
Forget them five games, huh?
2020, he won six in a row. What 2021,
for me lately?
He won four in a row. 2022, he won seven in a row. Mm-hmm. 2023, he's won five in a row. Mm-hmm. That's what Josh Allen does.
Yeah.
2020, he won four. 2021, he won six. Flip that order. 2022, he won seven. Y'all, that's what he does. This is what Josh Allen does. 2020, though, remember after he won those six in a row, he goes to the playoffs, what happened? Lost his mind. Lost his mind. Like, wait, did you just pitch it on? What are you doing? Lost his mind.
The Texans.
Yeah, lost his mind. So, like, we've seen Josh Allen lose his mind in playoff games before. Last year, they looked really good. He won, what was it, seven in a row. Saw the Bengals. So I think Joy made a great point. And I was listening, I was writing down, like, his turnovers don't matter when he's in his bag like that. Is that it? Or do his turnovers not matter depending on the opponent? Because remember, before the half, and Shady, you would have been irate, I'm sure, if you were on that team. Josh Allen just throw it out of bounds, kick the field goal. Remember, he throws it in play. Dolphins get the tackle. Oh, yeah. Sean McDermott, his head coach, literally says, like, we got to find a way to get points. I'm done interviewing. I'm going to the locker room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It didn't matter because the Dolphins ended up going four straight possessions without points, four straight possessions punting. So it didn't matter. But can we say that it won't matter against the Baltimore Ravens? Mm-hmm. Can we say it won't matter against the Kansas City Chiefs? Dare I say this? Can we say it won't matter against the Cleveland Browns when they have defense out there that's going to keep you on a short field? Can we say it won't matter then against the Miami Dolphins, who the only winning team they beat was the Dallas Cowboys, and obviously we all know the Dallas Cowboys fumbled on the 1-yard line. Against the Cowboys, maybe, but, like, can we say it won't matter against a better team.
Yeah, but did you see what he looked like?
You look great.
I'm gonna fall for it every time.
You look great.
I'm gonna fall for it every time.
You looked great.
Actually, what you're saying is correct.
You look great.
He does do that. But we all watched that last night, right?
But it's a great point. Run the play that Joyce's talking about. It's my favorite play. Number four turns it down. I forget his name. Number four for Miami Dolphins. He turns down the hit. Josh Allen picks up the first down. Because here's what I'm wondering. Nobody on the Ravens turning down this hit. Yeah. On this, it's later on this play. I'll tell y'all exactly when it goes. Nobody on the Ravens is turning down this hit. Nobody on the Browns is turning down this hit. I'm telling y'all that right now. Nobody on D'Amico Ryan's Colts, or D'Amico Ryan's Texans, is turning down this hit.
And he
I'm telling you that right now.
Can I say one thing?
Nobody's now, they might not win. You know better than that. They might not win, but you're not turning it down. Number four for the Dolphins turned it down.
That sounds cool, and that sounds good, right? And I'm not going to say I don't believe you. I'll say this. It's easy said than done.
Of course.
Because I ain't turning that thing down, right?
Of course.
So you see that 6'5", 26,
no doubt.
And you know how he's coming. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. When we used to play different teams, right, I wasn't the most physical runner, right? But a guy like Marshawn Lynch was.
Mm-hmm.
We watched tape, and I watched dude on tape. Marshawn coming, he tensing. I'm like, yo, you trying to tackle me, though, but you won't tackle him, right? When they see Josh Allen coming, it's third and eight, whatever it is, and he's six, it's 2 yards from getting it, they're not going to get in front of that boy.
I mean, and it's like anything. Is this the first team that turned down a hit from Josh? Josh do this to everybody.
No, but I'm talking about the elites. Because now we're in playoff mode.
Right.
I'm talking now we're in playoff mode. Because I'm not even sure if number four starts if Xavier Howard's out there on the field. I'm not sure if number four starting.
He's playing a slot. Right?
You feel me? So, like, yeah, depending on how the structure of the Miami Dolphins, who's been healthy, so many people have been maligned. But I know this much. Geno Stone. Kyle Hamilton, All-Pro Marlowe Humphrey. I just don't believe they're turning it down.
No, and you probably
I just don't think they're turning
and
it down.
You're right, but they've never been in a situation where a quarterback is coming to them like that. I'm used to a running back, yeah. I'm a test, a big wide receiver, tight end. I'm gonna get the knee. You don't know what to do with a quarterback. Is he gonna slide you? I don't know what to do. Because most quarterbacks is not coming how he's coming. Lamar Jackson is probably the best runner we've seen in years. He ain't doing it like
that. No, he's not. He's not at all.
Yeah, I'm putting that helmet down.
You're preaching. You're preaching too far.
I mean, it's hard to watch that and not get enchanted.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like Lamar Jackson. Put a spy on him. I got him, coach.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
He's supposed to know all these spies. You know,
For me, though, and then that was hard to watch because some things in football are talent. Some things in football are want to.
True.
Some things like that play was want to. It wasn't talent. That play was now Josh Allen's talented. But, like, the Dolphins players, I literally like, yo, you turned it down. You made a business decision. Now, I'm not mad at you. Number four is probably 5'11", maybe a buck. But, like, bro, you didn't even want to put your hat in there.
Yeah, but Josh
you didn't want to put your hat in there.
He does that to everybody.
That's a deep tackle that slid off him like that.
You see that? He broke that.
Yeah, like, Josh ran through that arm tackle. Like, he didn't turn it down. Josh just ran through that. You know, so, I mean, it's tough not to trust
Josh.
Now,
Christian took that thing away.
Yeah.
That play, no chance.
But, I mean, I don't know what the win streak looked like when he was on his win streak year after year after year, but the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Dolphins.
Got some big wins.
Like, these dudes is in the playoffs. These is really good football teams.
You preaching.
Turning the football over or not. Like, these is teams that we think can go to the Super Bowl. And Josh, like, here you go. Get on about your business on this win streak.
Do we think Dak Prescott can go to the Super Bowl? That's the question after the commercial break. 36 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. It's the best Dak Prescott has ever looked. Have a Super Bowl head coach in Mike McCarthy, a Super Bowl defensive mind in Dan Quinn, Super Bowl defensive players, a Super Bowl all-pro caliber talent in CeeDee Lamb. But do you trust Dak finally? Y'all will be surprised by at least one answer on this desk. Do we trust Dak to make it to a championship game?
They know my answer. They ain't surprised.
Third and long, family, and get this. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, somehow they won the division, even though the Eagles started off 10-1. Shout out to Dak Prescott. 36 touchdowns, only 9 interceptions. At the beginning of the year, everybody had their doubts, but it appears Dak Prescott has erased them, winning the division once again. Bringing us on camera, please. Joy, this might be the year. This might be the year. Now, we say that always, but Dak is playing better than he's ever played. Mike McCarthy, Super Bowl winning head coach. CeeDee Lamb, probably the best receiver Dak Prescott's played with. Dez Bryant, he had him at the tail end of his career. So this really does look like one of those years. Do you trust Dak to make it to a championship game? NFC championship, that counts.
We do say it every year.
We do.
We them boys every single year. And normally, and certainly at the beginning of the season, I would have said probably no. Because they go to the divisional round and disappoint every single year. no matter what they got going on. And I thought that they had a Super Bowl level team last year. Mm-hmm. But the difference for me this year is how Dak is playing. Mm-hmm. A big part of why I went into the season with very little doubt about where the Cowboys were capable of really going is because we've seen Dak year in and year out be really, 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 really good during the regular season, put them in a position to be in the postseason or win the division, win a postseason game, and then get to the big moment. Haven't been in the NFC Championship game in 30 years. Here's the moment, and it's disappointing. Mm-hmm. But he's playing different this year. So it sounds crazy to say, and I've been bitten by this before, and maybe I had a little baby sip of Cowboys juice, okay, just a little tiny bit, but I think it could. I think it could. And on top of the fact that the way Dak is playing, they're so good at home.
Yeah.
They're so good at home. It's hard to imagine them losing to any of these teams that they would play in the divisional round. If they get back past the Packers, of course, which we are all assuming that they, well, I think I'm not going to speak for everybody. James probably isn't. Well, I don't know, though, because like James Coach been on the Mike Cowboys all year. You in a pickle. I think that they're going to beat the Packers. So I do think that this could be the year because of how they play at home and because Dak is playing the best football that I've ever seen him play.
James, you know championship head coach Mike McCarthy. You won the Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy when he was coaching the Packers. You were playing there. Is this the year? Tell the people behind the screen watching the show, is this the year Dak makes it to a championship game?
This has to be the year that Dak Prescott makes it to the championship game. This is the best we have seen Dak Prescott play. This is the most consistent we have seen Dak Prescott play. Dak Prescott is not making the little mistakes that he made previous seasons that he's doing now. Dak Prescott is making all the right decisions with the football. All the right decisions with the football. I mean, my dog came out and said he ain't gonna have 10 picks. He had 9, he was close, but he balled out and he did not throw 10 picks.
He didn't have 10.
But when you truly, truly watch the game, Dak Prescott is in control of this thing. He knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball. What he's doing great right now is extending plays. We have never seen Dak Prescott in his career extend plays like he's extending plays right now, making plays. And not only that, he's looking to extend plays, right? We used to be in practice all the time, and Mike McCarthy used to tell us all the time, 80% of this game is off-scripted. So he would make sure, listen, the play goes on, everybody's covered, escape, Aaron. You know, and that was the play. And we would rep that so much that it became a habit. When you watch the Dallas Cowboys play right now and Dak Prescott play, that is a habit. That is part of his game now. Getting outside the pocket, using my legs, making big plays down the football field, and he's playing extremely consistent football right now. The time is now for the Dallas Cowboys. 15-0 at home, and you about to get two of them back-to-back at the crib. You got to get this done and go into the NFC Championship, and whatever may happen there may happen. But this is the time to get to that championship game.
Shaded, hold. The whole world is waiting for this answer, 2-5. People on social media, people on real life media. Say, everybody wants to know, do you think that the person who you called, beep, beep, do you think that this is the year Dak makes it to a championship game? The floor is yours.
So I'll give you that answer. How I look? I look good.
You look great.
I look crazy.
Never look better.
Look good.
Look great.
All right. And real quick, as my partners, right, my teammates, you guys did a great job. I truly believe you guys.
Phenomenal job.
All right? Did a great job. But one thing that my mom always taught me, she says, son, history always repeats itself. Mm. That's what happens. I don't know. This is her words. Mm. It's worked so far in my life. I think Dak Prescott is playing phenomenal right now. Elite of the elite. This is the best he's ever played. I look at the team he has. It's the best team he's ever played with. From the linemen to defense to offense, super talented team. Mike McCarthy, I don't think we give him enough credit.
Oh,
I'm on that. That man, like, Mike McCarthy's doing his thing.
Well, I don't.
But one thing about Dak Prescott, as I know, man, he does good in the regular season, but this playoffs coming, it gets tough. Lights get real, real bright, right? And everything that us critics, people on TV, we say, it means more in this part, in the playoffs, postseason. He's never won back-to-back playoff games. He's never did it before. It's 2-4 is in the playoffs. That's what it is. Wow. So I just think that, yes, he's been good. Defense been really good. Skill players been really good. But when it gets to the crunch time and it gets to the moneymakers, it gets to the time where great players become legends and become stars. And they haven't been back, what, to the conference game since
2017? 30
years. Yeah. 30 years?
I think it's 29.
It's 30. Hey, man, I don't want to do the math. I'm just saying. They ain't been there 30 years, right? Dak Prescott, we know what he does when the game gets hot.
Question, last question on this matter before we have to move on. The Cowboys, though, I would say this year, unlike most, are better than every NFC team except the Niners. Mm. Mm-hmm. 2016, when the Cowboys lost to the Packers, Aaron Rodgers was here. Everybody relax. Aaron Rodgers was here. 2021, when the Cowboys lost to the Niners, it was still the Niners. You know what I mean? Like, they were just coming off the heels of the Super Bowl 2 years prior. Last year, the Niners were obviously better than the Cowboys. But this year, I can't say the Rams are better. Okay. I can't say that the Lions are better. Obviously, the Cowboys have beaten the Lions. I can't say that... Who else is in our NFC playoff?
Eagles.
Can't say that the Eagles are better.
Packers.
Can't say the Bucks are better. Can't say... Like, this is the time, mm-hmm. more often than ever,
yeah.
when Dak Prescott's probably the best or second best quarterback remaining in the NFC, yeah. and there's only one team better. Ain't this, like, yeah, this guy,
but,
this
but to me, it means nothing about them teams.
Okay.
It means nothing about them teams. This is about Dak Prescott and the level that Dak Prescott is playing the game at right now. When I led the league in touchdowns, I was in such a zone. I'm like, just throw the ball up, bro. I understand you like that, Aaron. Where I'm at right now, how confident, throw the ball up. I don't care who over there. That's where I'm at. That's the zone that Dak Prescott is in right now. He is playing so consistent, and he knows exactly how he wants to play the game. You cannot say that years past he lost in the playoffs. You can't say he's been playing this consistent really all year long and the way he's playing right now. He's doing that. And if you're watching the game, that's him. At least this season, that's him. Yeah. So for me, it ain't about who he plays. It ain't about Jalen Hurts coming in there, Jared Goff coming in there. Dak is playing so consistent. He's in such a zone and playing the game. This is about Dak, and he's never been playing like this entering into the playoffs, in my humble opinion.
The most interesting topic in sports today is a topic coming up on the other side of this commercial break. The Saints were already up 41, I believe it was, to 17. And then Jameis Winston, he made a decision, America, to get another touchdown as time was nearly expiring. Coaches cussing each other out after the game. Do we agree with Jameis' decision to go rogue? This is really the best sports conversation you will hear all day. This conversation, it transcends the X's and O's. It's our favorite conversation. Come back to hear it next on Speed. It's the sports topic of the day, family. Things got heated after the Saints. They scored late during that blowout win. You can see Arthur Smith right there. Dropped a couple F-bombs. Now, we're so kind to throw the Speak logo over it, but he was not as kind in person, saying that was bleeping disrespectful. Now, Jameis Winston, he said the players went rogue. Don't have to hear what Jameis said. Listen up.
Man, we got an interception to the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. So if we would have scored, would it still have been disrespectful?
Right.
When you return the ball to the 1 yard line and you have that opportunity, we just had the opportunity and we decided. I think it should be forgotten, especially when the score is already 41-17. So I don't know how much worse it can get.
First and foremost, I like Jameis Winston, but that's besides the point. The point for me is this. I have no issue with them running up the score. I don't think you can run up the score in pro sports. In pro sports, if you want to stop them from scoring, stop them from scoring. As simple as that. No issue with them scoring. But I have an issue with how they scored.
Yeah.
Don't dare do it out of victory formation.
That's it.
Don't you dare do it out of victory formation. Whether practice, whether games, whether all-star games at any level, victory formation, particularly victory formation when it's not a one-possession game and you don't need to force a fumble on the quarterback while taking a knee. Victory formation is a formation which simply says, hey, we concede. It's a gentleman, hey, great job, great fight, good job, Warriors, we concede. I would convey victory formation being the same things as boxers touching gloves before they fight. Before we fight, I'm going to pay homage to what you're about to do. You're going to pay homage to what I'm about to do. And now we're going to fight. Now, sure, some people might say, at all times, protect yourselves. But that's not the real. In victory formation, and I can speak to this as the lone defender on the desk, particularly if it's not a one possession game, you'll see a defender go hard to try to force a fumble. Go back 2014 Super Bowl, Patriots versus Seahawks, Michael Bennett, Tom Brady was taking a knee. He tried to rush through there. It was 28-24. He's trying to force a fumble. But in a blowout, you line up in victory formation, just take the knee. If you're going to score, show me you're going to score and score. Don't try to deceive me. The last thing I will say before I pass it off is, I don't even think there's a play call in victory formation. In all my years of watching and playing football, I've never seen like a play designed out of victory outside of a knee. So I quite literally think in the huddle, they were like, hey, big dog, we just been a turn, hand it to you, go from there. So I have no issue with them scoring, but I do, James Jones, have an issue with how they score.
I'm with you on that because I don't mind. I mean, you're an NFL team, you're getting paid too, right? So if they want to go for it, go for it.
Go for it.
In victory formation, and Shady, you've probably been in victory formation more than me, especially at the running back spot. As a receiver, we weigh in the back end, you know what I mean? Quarterback fumble the snap, go chase somebody down. But what I've seen in victory formation is the refs come in there, easy, easy, easy. Now everybody chill, everybody relax. Don't be firing up the ball, you know what I'm saying? So to have in your head that, hey, we finna in this victory formation and we firing off the ball and like you're gonna hurt somebody. So for me, I don't mind you going for it.
At all.
Hey, coach said take a knee, break out of the huddle. What they doing in spread formation, handing the ball? That's totally
that's different.
You know what I'm saying? So, but to get in victory formation, number one, you can mess around and hurt somebody like that. And number two, it is a little disrespectful.
Very much
because
so.
Whenever you get in victory formation, it's like, hey, we respect y'all. Good game. We're going to take a knee. So if you're going to run the play, get in a real formation. If not, you're going to get somebody hurt, man, out here in victory. Seamus is a fool.
Oh, no. Look. Oh, man. I mean, Jimmy Graham told you how he feels about it. So if you haven't seen his tweet, don't go anywhere. See it, check it out in the break. But are we going to show it? Oh, we ain't gonna put the speak over the last line. I mean, you can't do it out of victory formation. I don't really believe in the running up the score thing. That's for high school. That's maybe for college if it's if it's even a certain college. Like you pros, stop them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't, the gentleman's game, whatever. You're talking about touching gloves. People get knocked out for that too. So we've seen that before. I really don't feel very strongly about it. I do find it interesting that Jameis. And I think Jameis said that he overruled, like they overruled Dennis Allen. Like that's a little strange. Yeah. I don't know what that says to you. I'm not looking too far into any of this because, like, to Jameis's point, y'all losing badly. So you really mad about the wrong stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the victory formation is the only issue I have, and that's
You said something about hurting somebody. Getting hurt?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, because, I mean, if you have the offense mindset in a victory formation, we finna fire off the ball. Naturally, the refs is like, they know the game's over when you get in victory formation. You about to take a knee. Yes, I agree. You probably should be ready, but
all I'm saying you're not. Nobody got hurt right there. Only people got hurt is the coach's feeling.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
He got fired next day. We don't want to hear that. First of all, you playing against a division opponent, right? And if you win, they get the – They if they won and then the Bucks lost, they get a chance to. So you fighting for, you playing for something though. It's 41-17, and you want somebody to give you some sportsmanship. What are we talking about? Listen, in combat sports, boxing, football, what's the thing?
UFC.
That ain't no friends and none of that. I'm being serious. This is real football. This is real sport. And for you to be complaining that we ran a score, well, stop us. You playing against us, stop us. I hate when dudes want to do that. Why they score on us? It was all right. So what? I'll play against the opposite team. We want to beat you. Stop us. Mm-hmm. The score is 41-17. You complained about a little touchdown. What about the other 41 touchdown points they scored? You ain't talking about that? And you fought for something, he deserves to get fired. That's the problem is we're so sensitive in this sport. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And if it's victory for me, so what? Don't be down there on the 1 yard line.
That's right.
Come on, man.
I mean, that's what Jameis
kind of
said. Jameis said with a smile, so it's being assumed better.
It's soft.
Here's where I disagree, 2-5. Here's where I disagree, big dog. Let me talk to you. I disagree because to me, it's about respect. I was talking to, I think it was the granddaughter of the founders of USC, mm-hmm. talking to her, and she said, UFC is the ultimate sport of respect. I'm thinking to myself, you sound crazy. Literally, I'm thinking to myself like you. I was thinking just like you sound crazy. Mm-hmm. Ultimate sport of respect?
Right.
They're trying to kill each other. She said, I literally could hold your life in my hand, and I have to show the restraint to, when you tap, let you go. I have to show the restraint. I have you in a chokehold. I could keep choking you out, but I'm showing the restraint that when it's done, it's done. When the ref comes in to break it up, they break it up. I said, that is a good point. I view this in a similar fashion. It's like, y'all already beat us. Yeah. You already beat us. If you want to beat me, I'm not fine. Run it. But don't, like, trick me to beat me. That's my only issue with you.
What's her name? Do you mind? Just don't even
so Selena Gracie.
Okay, Miss Gracie. Well, I know you've never met Aaron Donald and been in a hold of Aaron Donald.
He ain't about to do all this tapping and all that. He taking you down, right?
But there comes a point. There comes a point even with a quarterback. There comes a point where, you can't even pile
drive. Forget the quarterback. Give me.
Give me a running back. No, you're lying. Hold on. We've been in positions before. Real games or pass rush drills. Bomb. Hey, ball gone. Hey, big dog, chill, ball gone. And don't you dare lie on camera. Because we've been in position before during the game when the ball's gone, it's like, hey, big dog, ball gone. And it's like, oh, you right. Let's just get out of here healthy.
Everybody don't play like that, though. Right?
Hold up. I know some dirty dudes that do not play like that. Do they?
The dirtiest dudes I know. The dirtiest defensive tackles I know. Okay. And they're on tape.
Can I say this really
quick? So where's Burford?
Vontez?
He playing like that? Yeah. Ball's out. Let's go. He doing that? What he going to do?
He out the league.
Can I say this, though? So victory formation.
Yes.
That is a sign to where the game's over, fellas. We finna take a knee and end the game. That's a sign for that. So naturally, it's the refs is everybody relax. They taking a knee. Game is over. Right. I got a question for you. You've been in victory formations.
Yes.
Were you right next to the quarterback, right? As a running back, you're right next to the quarterback, right? Receivers is in the back end. So imagine if you're in victory formation and as a team, you know, we're about to take a knee. Mm-hmm. And on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive end say, I'm finna come off this ball and smash Shady. And he smacks you from the back coming on a kneel down.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful, bro. Like, we are taking a knee.
But I get it, but who said it's not disrespecting football? It's a lot of disrespecting football. Dirty hits, late hits, it's all that. It's football.
This right here.
Are we saying this was a dirty play?
Yes, because you're the formation you're in.
I hate that. Everything's dirty in sports.
No.
For example, right? When we take the victories and the D tackle, what's he be doing?
Usually they come off
that's
and
what
boom.
I'm saying. And just,
and what about, they just come off and do that.
And what about the dirty ones? They do that too?
But even the dirty ones don't come off hard unless it's a one possession game. Yeah,
that's not true. Yeah. I've watched dirty dudes.
The Albert Hainsworth of the world. I can pull up and we can see, the victory formation. See. What happened? Can I put a name to it?
You talking like that about Albert Hainsworth? Because you ain't run up against him. I did. That's a dirty man.
That's why I brought him up. But in victory formation, he probably just...
That's when he's being lazy.
I don't care. I'm telling you. I don't care about them scoring. Break the huddle, spread out. Coach, we disrespecting you, coach, over there.
Go for two.
A victory?
That's all I'm saying, though, and I'm done with it. I'm done with this topic. Jameis Winston, he ain't even playing for real. This is my issue, though. You want us ball players that's in a physical, nasty, dirty football game, a sport, to sometimes show grace, sometimes show sportsmanship? That's not what it is. It's not the truth. Same when dudes be getting hurt and all that. Like, you playing a physical sport and it can get dirty. Hold up, dudes. You mess with dudes. Alpha males that's angry already. You know what I'm saying? We play angry. And then you want to do this. Say, we down 41-17. Oh. He wants to be chill.
Yeah, I hear you. There is a certain level of gentleman-like behavior that I think is expected.
That's safe. They shake hands.
But you didn't even do that.
They shake hands.
Victory formation, you chill.
You talk about me. It's 22 players out there.
Hold on. Is this solely about... Because I don't really feel like this is what everyone's upset about. I think everyone reacted because Arthur Smith was real upset, he was more upset about that than 48-17 knowing he's about to get fired. Okay, and they missed the playoffs again. So I think it's a little bit more about the fact that they lost and then they rubbed it in and he assumed that it was obviously Dennis Allen's call, which is a fair assumption. Okay, so yes, some feelings were hurt. Is it a dirty play? Because to me, his reaction has added to this. Jimmy mentioned that nobody thought this was going to be as big of a deal as it was. So has it been blown out of proportion? Is it a dirty play? I don't think it's gentlemanly. But to Shady's point, like, that's kind of why I don't feel that strongly about it. Like, if someone was truly going to get hurt, they're going to see them again. Like, as has been discussed, they're going to see them again. It's probably going to be a little hostile. But that's a decision that they made.
But it is actually, now that I think about it, it definitely could be construed as dirty.
It is.
Only because victory formation, again, I'm being honest, the only person on defense who's been up here, your chin strap's not even buckled. Your mouthpiece not, like, it's victory.
That's your
fault. The ref literally is saying, take it easy. Man, like, listen, take it easy.
Victory formation is identical as in UFC tapping out. It's over.
It's a wrap.
It's over. It's so for you to get in this formation and go for it, that's a dirty play. I don't care if you go for it. Spread them out. Coach, F you like Jimmy Graham said,
this
all
why,
of that.
This is why guys like y'all too, right? They're gonna do stuff to y'all, Shady, on the field because y'all not prepared.
Shady, you talk.
They're not prepared. He got his chin strap done. You said it. Refs is like, take it easy. All this nice kumbaya moments. Yeah, and that's why that happens.
I've been in a lot of victory formations, and I'm sure you have too, Shady. This is a disrespectful play.
Okay, right? Well.
Is it disrespectful or is it dirty?
Both.
Because those are two. But then, because that changes the conversation for me. I don't disagree that it's disrespectful. Man. Now, because I don't know if it's really dirty, I definitely think it's watch disrespectful. This. But if it's disrespectful, make me not be disrespectful. Right. Like, this the pros. Yes. So make me not
this
be disrespectful.
This will be the last time the Falcons ever let somebody do this to them again. You know why? Because they're going to prepare now. They're
going to beat them to the dirty punch. But to me, that's not like.
That's football.
No, it's not. Football's not about being dirty. I mean, again, you played at a Hall of Fame level, so maybe Hall of Fame level is dirty.
It's dirty
but
dudes.
The football, it's not even dirty dudes.
I played with them, and I played against dirty dudes.
Man, chill on your dirtiness right now. That's it.
Ain't no such thing.
That's why we're talking about it, because it don't happen.
That part.
I mean, it is crazy.
And Shady hit it on the nose. Jameis don't even play. But we talking about this play
because
this
happen.
Ain't how. This don't happen.
I guess my real question is,
damn now.
If it's dirty, if you're saying it's dirty, I believe you. I feel like it's definitely disrespectful. But if it's just disrespectful, I don't have as much of a problem with it. What do you make of it's obviously victory formation and everyone knows what to do with it and they chose to do that even though they weren't told by the coach to do that?
That's maybe the better question.
Say.
Like, if we're to believe Jameis, which I do.
Well, I do, 100%. Everybody said it.
Then, coach, you got no control over
then
your
the team. Coach said, go do victory formation, kneel down, and Jameis said no. Like, what's. No, I'm just asking, like, y'all played. Yeah. Does that happen?
It's 41-17. It's like, if I'm a quarterback, I will do something like that.
I can believe it happened. Now, I've never seen anything like that happen, but context. Last year, the running back, Williams, he led the league in rushing touchdowns. This year, he ain't got one rushing touchdown. They hit the one. Season's over. Saints, I think at that point in time, they knew they weren't going to the playoffs because the Bucs, they had showed the score that the Bucs had already won. Game over. You finna go to Cancun. He ain't scored a touchdown all season. I thought, hey, big dog, can I get one? Can I? Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You tell me if I asked you that, you wouldn't do that. Like,
I would have done it.
See?
I would have done it.
But for me, I'd have been like, what's your favorite run play, Shady? Let's play. Woo, not victory, though. And I would have got out, hey, man, I was trying to get my dog Shady a touchdown.
That,
man.
No more,
wanted,
no less.
Wanted to let them know, here we come.
No more, no less. Well, when we return, there has not been a lot of victory formations lined up in Philadelphia. They've lost 5 out of the last 6. Is it panic time? Have the Eagles officially hit rock bottom next?
Bro, that's a low blow. You had to say that.
Well, that's a cute ride. Hold on, let me call my dog. Family, we are in overtime, and the Eagles, they would have hoped to take it to overtime yesterday, but they couldn't because they got blown out by the Giants. The Giants team that only won, I believe, 6 games on the season. Wow, shocking, appalled, disgusted, distraught, all words that you could use to describe the state of the Philadelphia Eagles. LeSean McCoy, you're the Eagles' all-time rushing leader. Can't wait to hear your answer to this one. Have the Eagles hit rock bottom?
Yeah, we at the bottom, bro.
Ooh.
Yeah, we looking up, though. We looking up.
Bottom?
Yeah, I mean,
you tell me. We've been these last, 6 games?
Mm-hmm.
We've been struggling, right? Mm-hmm. And then we play like some of the bottom
feeders.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. And we losing to them.
That's
then
true.
Not only did we lose one of them, we got smoked. And then the last time we played one of them, the Giants, we barely won that game.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm every interview you watch of the Eagles players, you see how they look. Look how they look. Listen to how they sound. They sound heartbroken. Like, who are we? It's like you've been living a certain way for so long, and you look at the mirror like, yo, who am I?
What happened to me? Yeah, that's real.
Dang, homie. Real. In high school, it was only a couple weeks. We was just the dudes.
Yeah.
So, yes, Acho, we hit rock bottom. Now, I'm not counting us out. I seen Rocky over and over again beat up.
They not Rocky.
No, I seen Rocky lose to a lot of people, right? And he was never talented to anybody, right? But somehow, some way, he found a way to get back up.
He lose 5 out of 6, though.
Jalen Hurts said it best, man. My quarterback said,
what'd he say?
It ain't how many times you get knocked down.
Mm.
It's the last time you get up. And I'm hoping that when we go down there to Tampa Bay in that sun and that weather, playing against Baker Mayfield and them boys, we're going to stand up one more time.
Mm.
Joy, real quick, and then we'll take it to break. Have the Eagles hit rock bottom?
Yeah, this is pretty low. You won one game out of your last six heading into the postseason. You was the man. You was at the top of the league, at the top of the division, MVP conversation, Coach of the Year conversation, MVP for other players on your team conversation. Now people calling for the coach's job, and not just any people. Your main peoples is calling for the job. Cool, fire everybody. We in the postseason. We still have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. We want to fire everybody. Everybody's sad. Vibrations is low.
Yes.
But you still got a chance.
James, I see you circle something. Yeah, but right after the break, I want you to tell me and the rest of the world what it is that you circle. Y'all know James be circling.
Circle.
This is gonna be the highlight of the show on the other side of this break. Circle, James gonna tell us his answer, what he circled. Have the Eagles, the 10-1 Eagles, formerly known as, hit rock bottom. Next on Speak.
Who's the man, homie?
Eagles, they've lost 5 out of 6. It's the biggest story in the NFL right now. James Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Have the Eagles hit rock bottom? What's that there on your paper that you circled?
Yeah, man, as you can see, man, I got no, because we got one more.
Oh, you got one more?
Man, I don't mean to say we, but I heard my dog. See, this he inspired me because my dog Shady said, we going to get Tampa. He amped it. We going to get Tampa. That's what they got, bro. So when you tell me rock bottom, that means season over. It's a wrap. We at real, the bottom. We can't even come up to the top.
You right.
It's over.
You
they
right.
have a chance to win a playoff game. And I promise you this, as much as we all dog in Philly and my dog Shady heart hurt because they ain't playing the right way, if they go out here, and I know it's a big if, because I ain't picking them, but if they go out here and they win, the whole thing is going to change. We are going to be saying, can the Philly get this next one done? That's going to be the conversation. So it ain't no rock bottom because your season is not over.
Let me get it.
You have one more. So however you got to get yourself from up under, whatever you under, you have one more opportunity to take this field for 4 quarters. They are guaranteed one more. So it ain't no rock bottom. It ain't no feeling sorry for yourself. Find a way to get one done.
And what happens if they...
They at rock bottom. If they lose, because it ain't no way up to the top.
Who down there with us, though? Who's down there with us?
Y'all.
Who's down there rock bottom with y'all?
The Bucks down there with us. Hold on. They down there with us now.
Not at rock bottom. This is great for them. They made the playoffs.
I said they was 8. They was 9-8. They barely made it.
I know, but I'm
we about to flip.
I can't even do it.
They got one more, though. No rock bottom, man. No rock bottom.
Not I mean, day. It's as low as you could get in the situation that you're in, though.
Yes.
I agree with you. It ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over. You're in the postseason. You got a chance. I don't know if I'm picking them either, but they do have a chance. I can't even say that we would be surprised. They have a chance. They could win this game. They could, though.
I mean, you got two.
But here's what's crazy. Y'all are both saying, and I don't disagree, I don't think, but like, we're saying we don't know if we're picking the Eagles to beat a Bucks team they already beat by 14 points, quarterbacked by a Baker Mayfield who's making $4 million, who is literally a journeyman. I think highly of him, but by definition of being a journeyman, we're questioning picking.
Well, we're questioning.
That in of itself is rocking.
Yeah, we're questioning it because we just seen them lose to the Cardinals and the Giants.
But my thing is, I just watched the Bucks. Dude, three picks or three field goals?
Yeah. Just one.
And they beat the team that's the worst team in football. I mean, all I'm saying is this. We both at the bottom.
Yeah.
Right?
And not only that,
we might be like.
But they won the division 2-5.
Okay.
Bro.
Okay.
With this loss,
the other teams in the division are squabbling over
the worst team in sports. They beat them 9-0. Like, what?
But y'all lost to the second worst
team. Man, look, we both at the bottom.
Does any team feel worse going into the playoffs, you think, right now than the Eagles? Like, any team, like, does any – Eagles obviously lost 5 out of 6. Dolphins don't feel great right now, obviously.
Eagles
to you.
The Cardinals, they beat up on us.
Yeah.
They bullied us.
We're not even talking about the fact that Drew Lock's Seahawks beat. Like, we keep ignoring that. We keep saying the Giants and the Cardinals. Yeah. Drew Lock's Seahawks.
But not only that, it's always certain things that give you a little bit of confidence.
What giving us confidence?
We playing. Let me stop saying we.
Yeah, you all said we.
Y'all playing really, really bad right now.
Uh-huh.
So this one team you want to draw in the playoffs.
I mean, we like to say they bad, we bad.
Exactly.
How that's confidence? That's like we like
because
like
you don't want to draw the Lions. You don't want to draw the Cowboys.
Draw the Rams.
Yeah, you don't.
It could always be worse.
Yeah, I guess.
In theory, the Eagles did draw the Steelers. No, but they're probably the second worst team in the playoffs.
Okay, if y'all want to go that far, all right.
So now,
all I'm saying is that
rock bottom.
when we look at the Eagles as a mirror, we see the Eagles and we see the Bucks. We like the same.
Yeah. Rock bottom is you lose to the Cardinals, you get blown out by the Giants, and you get beat by Baker Mayfield in the
Then playoffs. I would say I wouldn't even come
season
to work, Shady.
Over.
If y'all lose to the Bucks, honestly, just take.
You thought it was?
Take the knock. When we return, the national championship game, family, it is here. What is on the line? Washington, Ooh. Michigan. We're 2 hours, 3 hours away from kick. I will tell you all the players, all the names, the coaches you need to know. Who has the edge? Who's the X factor? What's the difference maker in the game going to be? I cannot wait for it. A glorious day. National championship game. It is here. This is my favorite part of the show. You play the game of football. You play sports for championship games. And tonight's a championship game. It's very simple. You got Washington, you got Michigan. I'm going to tell you who has the edge. Starting with the coaches. You got Harbaugh, you got DeBoer. You got to give the edge to Harbaugh. He's been consistently good. Remember, he went to a Super Bowl and he lost his opportunity at a championship. He's going to get his opportunity this year when he takes over and beats DeBoer. I think that Harbaugh has the edge. Now at quarterback, it's very, very good. J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr. But the way Michael Penix be throwing these darts, family, the way he be throwing these darts has got to go to Penix. Then offensively, Michael Penix commands the number one offense in all of football. That's the number one offense. Give the edge to Adunze. Give the edge to Penix. They got some dogs, but defensively, Michigan, they command the number one total defense, number one scoring defense, number two passing defense, but it comes down to an X factor. Who's going to be the hidden genius in all of this? For me, Michigan's defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter. I played with his dad, Rick Minter. His dad's currently the linebacker coach. Jesse Minter, he is a genius at coordinating defense. It's all here, the championship game, and we'll tell you about it tomorrow. We'll see you then.